This morning I want to speak about the seed principle, and I'll ask you 8 questions to introduce my thoughts this morning. See if you can answer these questions either now or hopefully at least by the time we're finished. Number 1, what is a gamete and what is an example of a gamete? Number 2, how much paper would be required to print out the genetic code of a single seed? Number 3, what doctrine teaches that the Word of God is like a gamete? Number 4, in the parable of the sower, what do we know about the fourth soil? Number 5, what can be said about every case of conversion recorded in the book of Acts? Number 6, in order for the kingdom of God to be destroyed, what would have to occur? Number 7, did Alexander Campbell begin the Church of Christ? Number 8, what is a denomination? And what do all denominations begin with? So think about those questions and see if you can discover the answers as we study. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. This was the third day of creation. This was the day that God made the plants and the trees and all of the herbs. And the Bible says within these herbs and plants and trees that he made a seed that will reproduce after its kind. Now then, seeds are pretty unimpressive little critters when you just sit there and look at them. But there are 5 important qualities about a seed that I want to go over with you this morning and then draw some appropriate conclusions. First of all, the seed is a self-contained capsule. A self-contained capsule. The most important part of a seed is the part that's called the embryo. Now this is my seed this morning, and there's my embryo. Right there. The embryo is the heart of the seed. Inside that embryo, there is life. If you put this seed in the proper environment, then that seed will germinate and it will sprout and bring forth life. And so that seed contains all the elements that it needs in order to produce life. It is a self-contained capsule. It's got everything it needs inside of it. All right. Number 2, the seed is not a gamete. Now, a gamete is an unfertilized reproductive cell. Okay? A gamete, for example, a chicken's egg is a gamete. It is an unfertilized reproductive cell. Nothing will ever happen from the chicken's egg unless a corresponding gamete from the opposite sex merges with the gamete of the opposite sex, and then together they will reproduce life. Now, if you go down here to the grocery store and you buy a dozen chicken eggs, those are usually unfertilized. You can take the chicken's egg from the grocery store and stick it in an incubator and keep turning it and keep turning it, and nothing will ever happen because all you've got is the hen's gamete. In order for that egg to reproduce, you've got to have the gamete of a rooster merging with the gamete of the hen, and when they are merged together, then you put that egg in the incubator and keep turning it. And eventually that egg will hatch a little chick. Now then, the Word of God is not a gamete. It doesn't have to have, a seed is not a gamete. A seed is a self-contained capsule that contains everything it needs. It doesn't need any more. Okay? Now then, I want you to suppose that I'm building an incubator. We're going to do an experiment here. Not an incubator, but an aquarium. Okay? So this is my aquarium right here. Okay? Now then, I'm making this sealed. It's got an airtight lid on it. I'm going to pump into my aquarium now a sterilized air. Sterilized means that all living organisms have been destroyed. There is no living organism in the air because I've got a sealed aquarium with sterilized air. And I'm going to put sterilized soil on top of my seed. And so my seed now is in sterilized air and sterilized soil. That means there is no life in the soil and there is nothing living in the air. And then I'm going to pour into the soil some sterilized water. That means there is nothing inside the water that has any life in it. So there is no life, no living organism in my aquarium at all, and I put my seed in the soil. Will the seed germinate and bring forth a plant? Yes, it will. It doesn't need any outside help. Everything it needs is right there inside the seed. It needs no additional help. It's all right there. It's not a gamete. It is a seed. All right, and that brings up point number three. A seed contains the genetic code to reproduce an exact replica. Okay? A genetic code is a body of information. In other words, when you put this seed in the soil and you begin to water it and the light warms the soil, there has to be some kind of information telling each cell inside the seed what to do. That information that tells all the cells what to do is called a genetic code. It is such a complicated genetic code that I am told if you took a single seed and wrote out the genetic code on paper, it would require enough paper that if bound together would produce a volume the size of the Britannica Encyclopedia. You young folks probably don't know what that is. That's a big set of books. One seed's genetic code, enough to produce the Britannica Encyclopedia in size and volume. That's saying that seed didn't happen by chance. There was intelligent design behind that seed because that could never have happened by chance. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, another parable he put forth unto them, say, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. The mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds. And yet Jesus knew. How could he know that if you plant the mustard seed, it will bring forth a bush big enough for birds to nest in? How could he know that? Because he knew inside that seed there was a genetic code which reproduces an exact replica. It reproduces after its kind. And he knew that because he made the seed. All right, now point number four. The genetic code must contain no irregularities. Now, what an irregularity, if there's something wrong with this seed, if it has been radiated or if it has been genetically engineered so that its genetic code has been altered, that's an irregularity, and that's called a mutation. And when the plant grows up, it will be mutated. It will be different than it should have been. What's making it different? Something was done to the seed. Because if that seed had been unaltered, if it had not been mutated, it would have reproduced an exact replica of what it came from. Okay? Now, point number five, to destroy an entire species, all the seed must be destroyed. Now, let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. Suppose somebody hated mustard so badly they wanted to rid the planet of all mustard. Okay, so what would they have to do to destroy all the mustard in the entire world? Well, first of all, they're going to have to find every mustard plant and pull it up by the roots and pile it all up in a great big pile and then burn it all. And after they have burned all of the mustard plants in the entire world, root and all, have they destroyed the mustard? Not yet. Because in order to destroy all the mustard, you better get every seed too. Because if there's so much as one mustard seed left, that mustard seed might find its way into some soil and some water and sprout, and whoa, we got mustard growing again. So to destroy all the mustard, you're going to have to destroy all of the seed. See, now then, what have we learned now? Five important truths about a seed. A seed is a self-contained capsule, got everything in it that it needs in order to reproduce life. Number two, it is not a gamete. It doesn't need something in addition to itself to produce life. Number three, it contains a genetic code to reproduce an exact replica. An exact replica. It reproduces after its kind, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Number four, if the genetic code must have no irregularities, it must not be altered in order to reproduce after its kind. And to destroy the entire species of a plant, we would have to destroy all of the seed as well. Now, that's a good biology lesson. But we can't just stop there because we didn't come here for biology. We came here to hear the Word of God this morning. Now, here's why I'm teaching you these lessons about a seed. The Bible says that the Word of God is a seed. Okay? Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower. And he says in Luke 8, verse 11, the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Okay? Now, he's going to begin explaining some more about this parable, but he starts off saying that the seed is the Word of God. All right? Now, there were other Bible writers and Bible speakers and prophets who talked about the Word of God being like a seed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, for example, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What are you planting, Paul? He's planting seed. He's planting seed. He's planting the Word of God. The Word of God is like a seed. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, therefore, put apart all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your soul. The Word of God is implanted like a seed into men's hearts. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, listen, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God is a seed. And in that seed, it has life within itself. Just like a seed has an embryo inside of it, and that embryo contains life, that Word of God has life within itself. It is a seed. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what? It is living. It has life within that seed. Okay? Now, there is a doctrine that says that the Word of God is not a seed. This doctrine is called Calvinism. Calvinism, taught by John Calvin and believed by some of our brethren. They don't know that this is Calvinism, probably, but it is Calvinism whether they know it or not. Calvinism says that the Word of God is not a seed. Calvinism says that the Word of God is a gamete. In other words, If you just take just the Word of God all by itself and you preach it to somebody, that's not enough to cause life to spring forth. You got to have more. You got to have the Holy Spirit doing something in addition to the Word, because the Word all by itself, only the Word only is not enough to produce spiritual life. And so you've got to have more. It's not a seed, it's a gamete according to Calvinism. Now, you remember what a gamete is? A gamete is an unfertilized reproductive cell. Remember that chicken egg? Some people, Calvinism is saying the Word of God is a chicken egg. It's not a seed, it's an egg. And so nothing will ever happen until the Holy Spirit, in addition to the Word, comes along and works a miracle on the sinner's heart. Matter of fact, Calvinism thinks, really, you can just dispense with the Word altogether to begin with. You really don't need it at all, because just let the Spirit come down without the Word and let Him work a miracle on a sinner's heart, and He'll convert that sinner. And so the Word of God becomes worthless. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Matthew chapter 13. This is the story of the sower that went forth. And so listen to this story. Matthew 13, verse 3. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. All right, so here's the sower. He's got him a bag of seed, and he's broadcasting the seed, and it's falling on the ground everywhere. And now Jesus is going to explain what this parable means. And he started off in Luke chapter 8. There's your parallel passage. Luke chapter 8 tells the same story. And in verse 11, as he begins to explain, he says, the parable is this: the Word, the seed, is the Word of God. And so here goes the preacher, and he's sowing the seed. He's preaching the Word of God to everybody. Now, if the Word of God is a seed, and if the seed is a self-contained capsule, and the seed has life within itself, then why doesn't all the seed bring forth fruit? How come not everybody's converted, and why doesn't everybody who hears the Word have spiritual life? The problem's not with the seed. The problem's with the soil that the seed falls on. There's your problem. That's why the seed doesn't always bring forth fruit, is because the soil is not always good. Notice there are four soils. The first soil was hard wayside soil. Some seed fell by the wayside. That's the path where the farmer walks to the field and back, to the field and back, to the field and back. And he pounds that ground down till it's a hard path. And it is so hard that the seed falls on that old hard path and it does not penetrate into the soil. And the birds of the air come and snatch the seed away. Because you see, if the seed is left on top of that soil, sometimes seed can even penetrate even hard soil. And the devil knows that. And so, when the Word of God is preached, sometimes it falls on some hard hearts. But the devil knows better than to just leave it there, because even a hard heart can allow the Word to soak in after a while. So the devil comes and snatches the Word out of the soil, so that sure enough, no life is ever going to be produced. The second soil was called rocky soil, stony ground. This is unsuitable for planting too, because the soil was so shallow. Yes, life sprang forth really quickly, but the roots were not able to go down far enough. And when the sun came up, it withered that little old plant and it died. Well, there was a third soil. It was unsuitable because when it fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up along with the seed. Did the seed produce a crop? Yes, it did. But the thorns produced also and began to suck the nutrients out of the ground and choke that seed so that the seed bore no fruit. And finally, there was a fourth soil. It was called good ground. And I want you to know it was good before the seed landed on it. Now, you know, Calvinism and, unfortunately, some of our brethren think that when a person is born, they are born so depraved, so wicked and sinful from birth that there is no way the Word of God all by itself can bring forth fruit. And you got to have a miracle. But listen, this soil was called good soil before the seed landed on it. Before the seed got there. And the seed, because it is a self-contained capsule and has life within itself, it could bring forth fruit. The Bible says in John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. And in 1 Peter 1 verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, you don't have, if this truly is a seed, the Word of God truly is a seed, when it has been planted, when it has been preached and taught to a sinner, that's all that is necessary. You do not have to have a miracle from the Holy Spirit operating upon the sinner's heart in addition to the Word in order to produce life. Jesus, in fact, said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. This is how the Holy Spirit puts life in someone's heart, you see. The Holy Spirit's not operating in addition to the Word. He is using this Word as a seed. It is His instrument. He gave us this seed. He's the author of this seed. This is His only power to convert men to the Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So the Word of God is a seed. Now, as we go along in the book of Acts, if this truly is a seed, and if this seed has life within itself, then what we ought to see is as we read through the book of Acts, every time someone is converted, if the details are all given, we should be seeing people, every one of them, hearing the Word of God. That's got to be the first thing that we see. And there is no conversion, there is no spiritual life until the Word of God is first preached. Is that what we see? Look in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when the Lord had already ascended back into heaven, and now it's time for the church to be built. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching to the people, the Bible says when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the Word of God preached to them. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. Something's bothering their conscience. They feel guilty. What's making them feel guilty? When they heard this, when they heard the Word of God, it cut into their conscience. And they said, what shall we do? And so the Word of God caused their conscience to hurt. And now they're asking what to do. And now here's the Word of God again. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's the Word of God cut into their heart, and now the Word of God is telling them what to do. Now in verse 41, the Bible says, those who gladly received His Word were baptized. And the same day they were adding to them about 3,000 souls. Oh, they received His Word, the gospel. And the gospel alone has power within it to bring forth life. Go over to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, there are the Samaritans in verse 12. When they believed Philip, listen, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and of the name Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. What had to happen first? They had to hear the word of God. Go on down in Acts chapter 8. And there is the eunuch now. Here's interesting. Because in this case, an angel of the Lord told Philip, go down to the desert in the way called Gaza. So he went there. There he is waiting. As he's waiting in the desert, the Spirit of God said, go and join yourself to the chariot. Somebody says, ah, looky there. There is the Holy Spirit doing something more than the Word. Wait a minute. Hold on. Philip goes and joins himself with the chariot. Now he's in the chariot with the sinner. The sinner's unconverted yet. He's as much of a sinner now as he was before Philip got in the chariot. Whatever the Spirit did, when the Spirit said, go join that chariot, that didn't cause anybody to be converted. Now he's reading in the Bible, and he's reading Isaiah chapter 53 about some man who was crucified. And he asked the preacher, he says, of whom is the prophet speaking, of himself or some other? And the Bible says, Philip began opened his mouth, verse 35. He opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, all that the preacher did now, he's preached Jesus from the scripture. Is that enough to convert somebody? Notice the next verse 36. As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What made him want to ask that question? The Word of God was preached to him. And that's what was making him want to be baptized. That's what was giving him life, and he was baptized. The converting power of God was in the Word, you see. Now, the Corinthians, Acts chapter 18, verse 8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, what? Hearing, believed and were baptized. They what? They heard, they believed, they were baptized. The converting power was in the Word of God. It was a seed. It has life within itself. Now then, in Acts chapter 24, we have a case of some bad soil. We've been reading about the seed of the kingdom falling upon some good soil and bringing forth fruit. But now in Acts chapter 24, verse 24, there is some bad soil here. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. How come the word didn't bring forth any life here? Because it's hard soil. Hard soil, and the word could not penetrate. Because the seed of the kingdom is the word of God, I understand now why we've got the great mission from the Lord. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I understand that now because this is the seed of the kingdom, and the seed's got to be planted everywhere. Now, the kingdom of heaven depends upon a seed, okay? The kingdom of heaven is the church. All right, are you with me now? Here is the kingdom. And the kingdom is the church. I know that because of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Jesus said, I will build my church and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. The church and the kingdom are the same thing. They're used interchangeably. Okay? So the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God, or the seed of the church, is the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches what was sown in his heart. It's the word of the what? The word of the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's the church. So the word of the kingdom is the word of the church. The Bible is the seed that reproduces the church. Now, every seed reproduces after its own kind. In other words, the seed contains a genetic code to reproduce an exact replica. If the Word of God is a seed, and it's the seed that produces the kingdom, it is the Word or the seed that produces the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So Jesus is going to build his church, and he's going to plant a seed, and that seed will produce the church. Now, to this morning, I don't want to be part of a church. I want to be part of the church that he built. How am I going to be part of the church that he built? I'm going to have to be part of a church that came from this seed. Because this seed is the seed of the kingdom, the seed of the church. This seed produces the Lord's church, not a church, the church. See? So I have to go to a church that came from this divine volume. The Bible says in 1 John, this is easy to remember now, if you can just count to five. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. Okay? Read it with me. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we know him. All right, I want to be a member of the church of Jesus Christ. It comes from a seed. And if I take this seed and I go by this seed only, it will produce the church of Christ only. That's all it will produce. Now, the prophet Daniel prophesied that when the Lord builds his church, it will never be destroyed. Remember that? In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Excuse me. He says, in the days of these kings, that's the Roman kings, in the days of these kings, God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And it shall not be left to other peoples, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. So the Lord is going to establish a kingdom or church that will never be destroyed. Now, do you remember how can it be possible that the church could never be destroyed? Remember about the mustard seed? If I wanted to destroy all the mustard in the world, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to destroy not only every plant, but to destroy all the mustard, I have to destroy all the seed too. Because if you leave as much as one seed, that seed could germinate and sprout and bring forth another mustard plant. Now, if the Word of God is the seed of the kingdom, if I want to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to destroy every congregation of the church. I'm going to have to destroy every Christian of every congregation. But that's not enough. I'm going to have to destroy all the seed. Because if I leave any seed behind, that seed could fall upon some good soil and bring forth fruit and make another congregation of the Church of Christ. Now, that brings up the question this morning. Did Alexander Campbell start the Church of Christ? I've heard that so much. People say, oh yeah, you remember that church that Alexander Campbell started. Alexander Campbell did not start the Church of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, listen, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Who built the church of Christ? Jesus Christ did. Alexander Campbell didn't start that. Jesus said he did. Who was Alexander Campbell? He was a farmer that sowed some seed. He was a good sower. He sowed some seed, but all he was doing was preaching the Word of God. And when this seed lands on the right soil, it reproduces an exact replica of that church Jesus built in the first century. That's all it is. Now, the Catholic Church says, we are the one true church. Oh, really? How do I know you are the one true church? How do I know it? Because, they say, we can trace our history all the way back to the first century. And they say they can prove from history there is an unbroken chain all the way through the dark ages, all the way till today, and therefore they are the one true church. But now, wait a minute. What if all through these 2,000 years, the seed was mutated? What if there was some genetic engineering upon the seed? What if it was radiated and the seed's not the same? What if the seed producing the Catholic Church was not the pure seed of the kingdom? Well, then you wouldn't have the Church of Jesus Christ. You'd have a mutated plant. And that's what you've got. Because I promise you that the Catholic Church does not go by the Bible alone. You know what's most important to them? What the Pope says. And whatever the Pope says overrides anything written in this book. Oh, yeah. That church is built upon mutated seed. And not just them. We'll not just pick on them. We're going to pick on all denominations this morning, because every denomination, it comes from mutated seed. Even those that call themselves non-denominational. You know what non-denominational means nowadays? It means all denominations. In other words, non-denominational today means we accept a little bit of what everybody says. That's mutated seed. The pure seed of the kingdom will not produce a denomination. The pure seed of the kingdom produces only the Church of Jesus Christ, which He built according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Now listen to this. In Matthew 13 verse 24, another parable He put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain was sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us to go and gather them up?' He said, 'No, lest when you gather them up, you root up the good seed also.'" Now, you know what this is happening? When the tares spring up, oh, they look just like the wheat. And it took careful study. Only those servants who were experts could look at this and study and find there's something wrong. Didn't you plant good seed? Yes, good seed got planted. How then did all of these tares spring up? Somebody has messed with the seed. Somebody has sown some mutated seed in the field, and now it's got tares. When the Lord first built His church, there was the Church of Christ that He built. And then through the years, mutated seed got sown along with it. And only those who carefully examine see that denominations are not the Lord's church. They did not come from the seed. If just this seed is planted, all you will get is a congregation that looks exactly like the ones that you see in the Bible. That's all you'll get. Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. All right? Here's the first church. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "Timothy will come to you, and when he comes, he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, which I teach," listen, "everywhere in every church." What Paul taught, he taught everywhere in every church. Now, if they're teaching the same doctrine in every church they go to, all the churches should be the same. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17, "God has distributed each one as the Lord has called each one. So let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches." You did what? You ordain the same thing in every church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." All right? Think with me now. If the same doctrine is being taught in every single church and they continue in the same doctrine, every single church ought to be just exactly alike. Same seeds being planted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, "God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." All the churches had the same rule. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you learned them." You must what? Continue in what you learned. So if the same thing's being taught in every congregation and they continue in it, well, every congregation ought to be exactly the same. Again, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but if we or an angel from heaven, who's the we? That's the apostles. If we apostles or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be cut off. As we said before, so now I say again, if any man, he started off with the apostles and then the angels, and now if any man preaches any other gospel than what you've received, let him be accursed, let him be cut off. So, if we cut off anybody teaching anything different than the pure seed, and we each follow what was taught in each congregation, we'll all be the same. And any church that's different is because somebody has messed with the seed. The seed has been mutated. Because I guarantee if you plant the pure seed of the kingdom, it will reproduce an exact replica. It will reproduce after its kind. Okay? Now, the Word of God is a seed. Seed is a self-contained capsule. It's not a gamete. You don't need something in addition to the Word of God. You don't need the Holy Spirit working in addition to the Word of God. It's not a gamete. The Word of God contains a code so that it reproduces after its own kind an exact replica. This genetic code cannot be tampered with. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18 and 19, if anyone adds to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Okay? So we cannot tamper with it. There cannot be any irregularities. And to destroy the Lord's church, you'd have to destroy all the seed. And that's not going to happen because this seed is divinely protected. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. You can't destroy the seed of the kingdom. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. You can't destroy the seed. As long as this seed remains, and it always will, there will always be the Lord's church. And that's why Daniel could say, in the days of these kings, God will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. You cannot destroy the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's kingdom, His church, you can become a member by doing the same thing they did in the Bible. Hear the Word of God. Believe the gospel. Jesus said in John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Repent of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will perish. Confess Christ with your mouth that He is the Son of God. In Romans 10, verse 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then be baptized in water to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If you're here, this is what the seed of the kingdom is saying. It's not me. This is the seed. Listen to this. Let the seed fall upon some good soil and bring forth fruit in your life. If you can understand these things and you have never obeyed the gospel, we invite you to come while we stand and sing this song.